Hi, Prep. It's Alex from Generalism, and on this week's podcast episode, we have Coach Scott, the Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, to talk about microaggressions and DIVCO.
Hi, I'm Coach Scott. I am a graduate of Seattle Prep, class of Once Upon a Time. I've been at Prep about 20 years, though I've been involved with Prep for almost 45 years now. My job is to make sure all students are able to enjoy everything that Seattle Prep has to offer, that they feel comfortable and welcome here and included, and to ensure that we do have a diverse student body and faculty and staff.
All right, hopping into the first question, what is a microaggression and an example?
A microaggression, to put it simply, is a slight, intentional or unintentional. When we talk about them, we tend to talk about the intentional ones, and they are slights that are designed or intended to make someone feel bad. It could be an example of talking about someone's hair, making a anti or a racist remark or a sexist remark, homophobic remark. Those are all microaggressions. There are some microaggressions that people don't realize are microaggressions. And there are slights where people just don't realize that what they say is offensive. That tends to stem from our own implicit biases. We all have them. So every now and then, some of us will accidentally say something that someone takes the wrong way, and it wasn't intended to be a microaggression or to elicit some bad feeling. But that's human nature. We all do it. But we talk more, when we talk microaggressions, we talk about the things that people say that are intended to elicit a reaction or to make someone feel bad. Example might be someone saying something. You know, first of all, microaggressions cover a lot of territory, but maybe someone talks about, I can't believe someone black is that smart, or, you know, all of our students of color are here to play sports, or, you know, assuming someone needs financial aid because they're a person of color or they come from a certain school. So any of those can be microaggressions.
And does a microaggression always have to be something verbal? Can it be in forms of an action or something other than that?
Sure, it can be. Even a teacher may make a student of color sit close to the front of the room because they assume that they may be a problem. It can be assuming that, you know, because someone who is tall and black at school is an athlete or a basketball player, or someone, an Asian student, might be the perfect student, as they say, or maybe a Latino student, their parents, assuming that their parents are, what do you call them, unregistered aliens.
So what is the difference between an observer, a perpetrator, and a victim?
Pretty simple. Someone, an observer is someone who sees what's going on, hears what's going on. Perpetrator is the person who is committing that act, and then a victim is the one that's made to feel bad because of the microaggression.
So what is PrEP, specifically the Diversity Council, doing to stop microaggressions?
Well, it actually is bigger than the Diversity Council. We ask the Diversity Council to be on the lookout for microaggressions and to call them out. We will also be doing some training with them later this year to help them react to microaggressions. But we as a school have tried to include microaggressions in our programming so that it's a school-wide thing, and that goes from Board of Trustees all the way down to our students. So we want to touch on each one of those in some way when it comes to microaggressions, because it's something that we can hopefully control.
So I know PrEP in the past has had something called the 21-day racial equity challenge that we have put into underclassmen programs. Can you expand on that program, what it is, who teaches it, and the impacts of the program?
Okay, the 21-day racial equity challenge is something that the Jesuits developed from a secular program. So ours is the Ignatian 21-day racial equity challenge. And that program is a very simple program. You go on, you register for it online, and they send you an email every day for 21 days. And those emails are a lot of educational material around the church and the Jesuits when it comes to race and inequity and things of that nature. And all you have to do is watch a video, read a something that they send to you, and then there are resources if you want to dig deeper. It is a great program. Most of our staff have done it, and we try to encourage our students to do it. The biggest response that we get when it comes to the challenge is, I did not know how much I didn't know. They are very, very educational, and there have been people that I've had to talk into taking it, and they've taken it and said, thank you for pushing me to do it. This was really good. And all of our students that have taken it have come, well, a lot of our students who have taken it have come back and said, all of our students need to do this, as well as board members. Board members have come back and said the exact same thing. So it's something, it's not necessarily part of our curriculum right now, but we do some programming where we encourage kids, students to partake of it because it is totally worthwhile.
If you could implement it into the curriculum, kind of what aspects of kind of microaggressions, or I guess like where would you start if you could have the chance to implement something, a topic this big into, let's say, collegio?
Well, the microaggressions are just a piece of the 21-day racial equity challenge. I would love to find a way to program pretty much in every part. Now, we as our faculty diversity and equity group has been talking about how we can divvy this up, because there are parts of it that are just all about history of the Catholic Church and the Jesuits when it comes to racism and how we got to where we are today. There are pieces that are strictly theology. There are pieces that are very relevant to what we're going through today, whether it's redlining and real estate, loans, education, all of that kind of stuff. And they're just different parts. And we're actually still talking about the best way to get it to everybody.
So kind of piggybacking from that question, what is your hope from PrEP in terms of ending microaggressions and racism? Maybe identify 1 to 2 big goals, small goals, anything from something super large, or could be as specific as you would like.
Well, my biggest hope is, I've always had this dream that PrEP is the place where kids come and realize they don't have to deal with that. So that has a couple pieces to it. One has to be enforcement, calling in of microaggressions, so that kids understand that, number one, they won't be tolerated. And then the second part of that is some education around why something might be a microaggressions. Our youngsters, our students are very social. They're very into media. There are a lot of microaggressions in media and even in comedy. So students hear them and then they repeat them. And the other part of that is, you know, they're bound to be microaggressions at home that kids hear. And a lot of times kids will repeat what they hear at home. We can't control what you think. We can't control what anyone thinks. But we can say on this campus, when you cross that curb, they won't be tolerated. And so there are consequences, because continued microaggressions constitute harassment. Harassment is not tolerated here. And, you know, we tend to have that talk with the kids who commit these microaggressions. Okay, where did this come from? What did you mean? Do you realize, you know, how other people may feel? You know, and then the next time when a student is offended by it, it is now harassment, because this student knows better. And then there may be discipline, some disciplinary actions taken and some consequences. But, you know, if there's, if it continues beyond that, you know, some student may be looking for a new school. So, you know, there's a point where it's educational, and there's a point where it's no longer educational and there are consequences for it. So
you said you were a prep grad from once upon a time. From your perspective, in an honest answer, has there been a progression? And I know this journey is probably never ending, but would you say prep is on the right track to eliminating things like microaggressions on campus?
Prep is definitely on the right track. I will tell you, when I went to school here, they happen all the time. They weren't identified. There wasn't a name for them. It was just slights and, you know, put downs and that kind of stuff. When I came back to prep about 20 years ago, you could just walk through the halls. Oh my gosh, it was so bad. You could hear them all the time. And we're at a point now, I think we would be foolish to assume that we could totally eliminate them. It's not going to happen, because it doesn't happen anywhere in society. I mean, they even happen in the church. But to eliminate them to a point where there are very few and far between is the goal. You know, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any occupation, any business, any school where there aren't microaggressions. And again, because a lot of them are come from a place of ignorance where people don't realize they're microaggressions. But I think to eliminate those ones that are intentional, I think that's where we have the biggest opportunity.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I think, again, we have made incredible progress. And I think, I don't know a lot of schools that have even done the training. You know, we've done training with our students, we do it with our freshmen, we do it with our staff, and we continue to add to that. And we have come a long, long way. We can still, you know, keep pushing that button and try and eliminate them. We are a microcosm of the city around us, and so they're going to be there, and, you know, hopefully, again, they're few and far between. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on this podcast about what we're doing here at school.
Yeah, I think conversations like these are definitely well worthwhile. So thank you so much, Prep, for tuning in for this week's episode. And thank you so much for Coach Scott for joining us. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, Prep. So, Seattle Prep, how can we stop microaggressions? Number one, think before you speak. If there's a possibility that a joke or comment will offend somebody, it might be best not to tell the joke. Ask yourself what you mean before implying a stereotype or using a slur. Would you say it around people who are the target of the stereotype or slur? If not, don't say it. Number three, remember that having friends that belong to marginalized communities doesn't excuse you when you use slurs or other microaggressions. Lastly, do not be afraid to speak up when you hear or see a microaggression in play. Do not be afraid to use your voice to tell that person that they are in the wrong. We have the power to stop the cycle of microaggressions.